Hi, listeners. Thanks for tuning in to Rethink, a podcast focused on the future of skilled nursing. I'm Zahida Siddiqui, Senior Editor at Skilled Nursing News. First, I wanted to let you know that if you subscribe to our podcast directly through SoundCloud, a change that we've recently made in our infrastructure could affect your subscription. We apologize for the inconvenience and encourage you to subscribe through a podcast player such as Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Now, onto our show. Today, I'm excited to have with us Tom McLellan, Chief Technology Officer at Cardon & Associates, which operates 20 senior living communities and affiliated healthcare services throughout Indiana. Tom is a military veteran who served in Iraq, where he specialized in developing knowledge management solutions and technology for the Army as a warrant officer. Before we get to my conversation with Tom, I'd like to highlight a webinar on payment in which we will be discussing how the skilled nursing industry will be impacted by healthcare funding cuts related to the so-called Big Beautiful Bill. The panel will also explore how operators are adapting to a rapidly evolving payment landscape shaped by rising Medicare Advantage penetration, managed Medicaid expansion, and an industry-wide shift toward value-based care. I hope you'll join us. Visit skillednursingnews.com/events to find out more. And now my conversation with Tom McLellan. Tom, welcome to the Rethink podcast.
In light of the ongoing staffing shortages in the skilled nursing sector, what innovative approaches have you adopted to attract and retain employees? Are there technologies or partnerships that have proven effective in addressing these staffing challenges?
Yeah, I think when I look at how technology really partners with the business and, you know, with even with our chief HR officer, who you know, you know, I think it's important to recognize that really we're trying to make hard jobs feel less difficult, right, and more human. So many times folks want to put another piece of software in front of somebody, ask them to do more work. So back in line with my first question, you know, how do we reduce that friction? So the tools that we want to put in place, you know, help reduce a lot of that administrative burden. Mm-hmm. I think mainly to help our staff know that, you know, they're there to predominantly take care of people,
yeah,
not work on computers.
Right.
So we look at tools that try to reduce some of those things. When we think about once the employees and our associates are at Cardon, how are we continuing to train them and give them a better experience? So we've partnered a lot with building custom in-house tools to help with our learning and development teams, to help grow. We have a leadership academy to help folks understand that you can really build a career at Cardon. So all the tools we look at are, you know, mainly focused on, you know, can we reduce administrative overhead so that you can actually come to Cardon to do what you want to do, and that's take care of people. And then also, how do we train and continue to educate and grow your skill sets where we focus?
Yeah. And then what types of technology is Cardon investing in currently?
So much.
Yeah.
I think we're taking an approach with myself and my team that's unique, but it's definitely more focused on building our own, building on the foundation we've laid and continuing to build on that foundation really internally. So looking how we do that in a very secure, smart, and scalable way. So we are investing in areas like revenue cycle automation. We're really leveling up our predictive analytics capabilities. Obviously, everyone's looking at AI. Driven tools, but trying to use AI not just for AI's sake, but how can it really benefit us in some of these core areas of boosting efficiency of our staff and our workflows, increasing patient outcomes, and then looking at, and all of that, how to help with the reimbursement, you know, challenges we have. So I think for us, we're looking at continuing to modernize our infrastructure. High level focus on cybersecurity. I know we have a question about that here. But I think it's really about taking the core business functions, and how does technology really help achieve better outcomes, mm-hmm. not just outputs? Mm-hmm. And that's what we're focused on.
Got it. So you mentioned several areas where you're investing in the types of technology. You mentioned with regards to reimbursement improvements, staffing efficiency, so revenue cycle management you mentioned, mm-hmm. And then predictive analytics, right? So with these four areas, are there any metrics that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I think at our revenue cycle piece, we spoke last year here, mm-hmm. about the work that we've been doing in that space. I think it was, we really looked a lot at some cost avoidance, or we shared a lot of cost avoidance metrics, mm-hmm. there and kind of our speed, getting to yes faster, taking, decision times down from like 45 minutes to less than, 10 to 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Our cost avoidance metrics that we've had with just a lot of our automation and tools that we've done in-house have been well over $2 million mm-hmm. of cost avoided, mm-hmm. In that space. But I would say our transition now is not just about those specific labor metrics, but mm-hmm. transitioning more into the outcomes of what mm-hmm. that technology decisions and mm-hmm. investments are making. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why we're continuing to drive in those areas.
Yeah, and I lumped all the technologies into one when I asked that question, yeah. But to kind of rephrase that. So for predictive analytics, for example, is there data that you might know off the top of your head that is maybe reduced rehospitalizations, things like that?
Yeah, I think in general, our rehospitalization rate is, I think our goal is like 10%. Mm-hmm. I think we're just a little bit above that mm-hmm. right now, mm-hmm. In terms of what we're doing there. The technology investment, I think, has often dealt with kind of the back end workflows mm-hmm. to those processes. Mm-hmm. But now we're looking at, for example, with, MDS scrubbing and some of that, mm-hmm. some of those areas,
right.
How do we look at, using AI to really speed up a lot of those processes,
yes. mm-hmm.
To lead to better reimbursement rates and things
Got
like
it.
That. But I probably wouldn't want to speak to too many of those, metrics.
Yeah. Okay. No problem. And then what criteria do you evaluate and select technology solutions that align with value-based care goals with Medicare Advantage requirements as initiatives that maybe Cardon is pursuing in terms of like value-based care? And so just wanted to, see how technology is connecting up with that.
Yeah, I think, there's a lot of opportunities there. I think as we think about it, if it doesn't help us deliver better outcomes and get paid fairly for it, mm-hmm. maybe it's probably something we shouldn't be worth our time. So I think a lot of the tools where we're focused on is obviously looking at, improving documentation, mm-hmm. just that whole workflow. The time that it takes to do some of these things is just mm-hmm. astronomical. Mm-hmm. And obviously, if we can help provide better information, better insights, better decision making, those will lead to better outcomes, things like reducing hospitalization rates, as you mentioned. And really how to support, our care management and quality mm-hmm. metrics. Mm-hmm. We have an iSNP in Indiana. Mm-hmm. So, how are we looking at supporting that and supporting mm-hmm. those outcomes? But I think, so often technology is just really seen as a tool, but it's, to me, it's all about the people, process, and technology. Mm-hmm. So putting that one tool in place, if it's not thinking about the whole ecosystem and how people use it, what business functions are it, is it attempting to help support, then it kind of makes it hard to invest it. Mm-hmm. So we try to think about the whole picture and not just bring in a new piece of software and not mm-hmm. think about how you can roll it out. Care and feeding is important. Mm-hmm. in my time at Cardon, we've often had maybe a solution that we think was going to be great, mm-hmm. And it became just too hard to maintain.
Yeah.
So then folks don't use it.
Yeah.
So I think
that's an example of
that's
that.
A challenge.
If you can think of the example recently of something that you tried and it was too hard for people to maintain, or something that worked on the flip side, it was quick to implement.
Yeah, I think we've had two examples where we did roll out a vendor product that was attached or tried to roll out a kind of a more family-focused portal and product to help share information with them. All seems great, mm-hmm. But holy cow, that was hard to like get mm-hmm. staff to buy into. Like I said, you know, when you have all the locations that we have, you know, it's when it's seen as kind of secondary.
Yeah,
I think that's when it's challenging.
Got it.
And not
mm-hmm.
like a direct supporting. You know, when you have mm-hmm. nurses, I mean, they're there to take care of people. So when you add yet another tool in there that forces folks have to step away from that core job mm-hmm. and maybe do something else, yeah, you know, it's seen mm-hmm. as a challenge. So that was one rollout that I don't think went that well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not saying we haven't stopped mm-hmm. that mission,
right?
But those types of products have been hard. And then I think internally, it's been successful you know, our focus on learning and development and building internal products. What we're finding more and more is controlling our own destiny. And building our own products, and so we're building our skills and capabilities internally to do more of that specific to how Cardon works, and not, you know, what others tell us how we should work.
So give me an example of that. For example, like internally, when you say building internally, you're building your own technology, or are you utilizing solutions that are more catered to your internal problems?
Say both. I mean, it's leveraging tools, like I mentioned with the automation piece. There's mm-hmm. a lot of robotic process automation that we're doing. We've done that for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So AI solutions, we are doing our own, building our own solutions,
mm-hmm.
Maximizing our own capabilities in that regard, not necessarily waiting on vendors to tell us how to do it.
Speak a little bit about that, like what kinds of AI are you talking about?
I would say our focus on revenue cycle, so you know, scrubbing of patient records mm-hmm. and information to help better understand mm-hmm. Daily progress notes and changes to our residents mm-hmm. Throughout the day, mm-hmm. how we can surface that information quicker
mm-hmm.
For our clinical teams and staff.
Mm-hmm.
This is just an example. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of products here and vendors here that are selling those mm-hmm. same types of things.
Mm-hmm.
But I think our team over the years has demonstrated a lot of willingness,
mm-hmm.
my business partners, mm-hmm. To really work on solving these challenges ourselves.
Mm.
They're willing to put in the time and energy to do that, and they feel that's more valuable sometimes than trying to roll out a new product and help, you know, another company make their product better.
Got it.
It's just fascinating.
So it's enhancing some technologies that you already have currently, and you're just so that staff is already familiar with it,
right.
And you're simply enhancing it so that, say, the MDS scrubbing is a little bit more efficient,
right.
Perhaps. Is that what you're kind of...
Most of these tools, you know, like there's another thing you got to log into.
Mm-hmm.
There's another thing you have to learn.
Right.
But if I can do it behind the scenes and not force you to have to learn something else and just surface that information, mm-hmm. I think that's proven to be valuable.
Yeah. Okay, great. Do you think other organizations are applying the same sort of approach here in terms of developing their own tools like you guys are at Cardon, or is it difficult for people to do that and organizations to do that?
I think depending on your size, obviously mm-hmm. in our industry, it's probably harder. But I would say we made a choice, you know, 5 years, 6 years ago when I joined Cardon mm-hmm. that we were going that direction then.
Mm-hmm.
And we continue to grow skill sets and capabilities on my team.
Mm.
We continue to have a lot of buy-in Me sitting with the other senior executives, I'm in all decisions and all discussions. Mm-hmm. So technology is at the table every single day, not just seen as an afterthought. I think that's been very important.
Yeah.
Technology is seen as a foundation for a lot of what we do going forward. Because I think we've demonstrated a lot of success internally for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We've gained a lot of trust.
Mm-hmm.
But I think now I'm guessing, large organizations, they have plenty of resources at their disposal.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see that a lot in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally IT in our industry has seemed to focus on hardware, networks, security.
Mm-hmm.
And then go find a vendor or go look at this product.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're doing it a little different.
Mm-hmm. And I'll come back to kind of your background a little bit, because I think some of it is what you're describing is intriguing me to questioning about your technological background and know-how and all of that. So. But wanted to ask you too. You mentioned cybersecurity. There are cybersecurity concerns, of course, and these are growing alongside the rapid adoption of digital health tools. How do you ensure that cybersecurity remains a top priority when assessing or implementing new tech tools, especially in light of high-profile breaches such as you might have heard, Change Healthcare?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
We were definitely impacted by that. For us, security isn't just a feature, mm-hmm. not something we just add on. I mean, it's really a prerequisite for us. And, with all of our vendors, we ensure that they meet strict standards and guidelines. We abide by NIST, mm-hmm. the framework we follow, obviously HIPAA, mm-hmm. Security privacy rules, things like that that we take into consideration. But it is very much a focus of ours, can always be. I do have a chief information security officer who reports to me.
Mm-hmm.
He's responsible for, really moving us forward in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And we have worked really hard at investing in our security platforms, both from a software side, but then also network mm-hmm. infrastructure side.
Mm-hmm.
The tooling and capabilities we've had over the last 2 years, we've mm-hmm. modernized all of our tools.
Mm-hmm.
And we continue to do that. I really focus on, we have a couple strategic pillars
mm-hmm.
In our framework as we think about how technology enables our business, mm-hmm. Security being one of those,
mm-hmm.
Working on some of the software development we're doing, and then obviously the kind of the data, information, analytics, AI, capabilities.
Got it. And with that Change Healthcare, you mentioned that you were impacted by the cybersecurity concerns or attacks there. What did it look like for Cardon?
A lot of work for our reimbursement teams, and they had to do a lot of manual effort mm-hmm. To make sure that we could work through those challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Working with a lot of the payers.
Mm-hmm.
Process claims and working with our EHR on, figuring out how mm-hmm. To navigate that.
Mm-hmm.
Our EHR was, a vendor was very good about supporting us through that and their customers. So I think that made it mm-hmm. a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. What does REHR stand for?
Our EHR platform.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you weren't directly impacted by a breach or anything like that. It was more sort of
how to modify our business functions to mm-hmm. account for them being down and then all the fallout from that. Yeah.
Got it. And then, we touched upon the, role of AI and remote monitoring tools a little bit. Right. And in terms of just kind of how this is impacting the bedside and sort of in the context of predictive analytics, but I think this question might be a little different. In terms of the remote monitoring tools and your current or future strategy to improve reimbursement and clinical outcomes, can you describe some of that?
Yeah, I think for us, it's really about those, using these technologies. Mm-hmm. We really think about how it's extending our reach, mm-hmm. but not our staff.
Yes.
And thinking about how we invest in these things from that perspective. Our focus really of AI is to help, maybe identify and help us manage some risk. Mm-hmm. Looking at care planning, obviously improving documentation for both improved patient care and reimbursement. I think the patient care needs to be at the focus of some of these tools. And the remote monitoring piece is interesting. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities there. Mm-hmm. I would say we're still searching out some of those things to mm-hmm. kind of figure out how it fits, mm-hmm. Whether or not the investments make sense. Mm. Even when you think about in-house with, vital sign monitoring and, the cameras and technology that can be on the walls and mm-hmm. video cameras and mm-hmm. AI tools to help with, fall analytics and things like that.
Yeah.
Those things are all great.
Yeah.
They're also very expensive.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And again, kind of hard to care and feed mm-hmm. along the way. So, I would say we're monitoring and paying attention to those things. Mm-hmm. I think when the opportunity is right, we'll mm-hmm. we'll move forward. In general, we're very focused on probably a little ahead of the curve in most technology mm-hmm. areas.
Got it.
I would say a little, we're willing to take, a little bit more risk in some of these things. I think mm-hmm. because we have someone like me on the team that can make sure that we're thinking mm-hmm. through all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes we want to make sure that we are not at the forefront either.
Yeah.
In some areas. So.
And the reason being?
I think just make sure things can be proven just a little bit more. Mm-hmm. When you think about security, privacy, some of these technologies, how is that stuff protected? Mm-hmm. You got new vendors popping up all the time. Is mm-hmm. that vendor going to be here? Mm. A year from now, mm-hmm. and what does that look like? What happens with our data, mm-hmm. Our patient data? Thinking through all those things.
Yeah, got it.
AI can be a black box. What are you doing with all of this stuff, and mm-hmm. how are you training? Do you have a proprietary data models? Are mm-hmm. you just using kind of standard, large language models? What is happening with all of that mm-hmm. stuff? So you want to be smart.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it is why we're doing some of that in-house. Mm. So we know that it's secure and controlled in our environment.
Mm. That's a very good point. How do you evaluate whether a pilot tech solution has been successful enough to scale across your entire organization?
Yeah, I think for us, it's really about trying to tie that technology to outcomes. And if it's not really moving the needle, mm-hmm. why continue to do it? Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, when we try to, if there's a product we want to put in place, that might be difficult to roll out and it's not achieving those things mm-hmm. That we set out to do, why continue to do it? That's not often easy mm-hmm. technology. I think that's, as a technology leader, that's one of the harder things to really do mm-hmm. Is tie, this new piece of software. Our readmission rates are down. Is that because of the software mm-hmm. or is that because of the 17 other things that were put in place to support that software? Mm-hmm. And did we just hire the right, nurse practitioner at that one location, or is the medical director doing better at their job, mm-hmm. which helped us to keep folks in-house? Mm-hmm. Maybe it wasn't directly because of the technology. Mm-hmm. Now, technologists would always tell you, oh, it's because of the software.
Yeah.
I think that's our next evolution at Cardon is really making sure that the tools we invest in, especially as every vendor is telling us that they have these new AI tools, they want to charge more for them. There's new vendors every day coming to our door, wanting mm-hmm. to sell us a new product. Mm-hmm. So now we got to be even more mindful and more disciplined mm-hmm. About why are we really wanting to do that. So mm-hmm. I think it's asking that question up. Front. What mm-hmm. is the job we're trying to do? What is the outcome we're trying to achieve? Mm-hmm. Do we have a metric mm-hmm. That's not just a standard metrics? I mean, readmission rate is too broad,
yeah,
I think, in that case. So what are we really trying to do with this piece of tech?
Right.
And I think that's hard.
Yeah.
But that's going to be my challenge over the next few years, is to continue to make sure we're that's how we're thinking about it and approaching it.
And so the last question I have is, what is something that you think leaders in the nursing home SNF sector need to rethink, perhaps with regards to your expertise here in technology, but anything at all?
I think, you know, I kind of had a closing message even in my little preparation for the interview, but I think, you know, technology, I mean, at Cardon, and I think in general, like, we should not just be chasing new shiny objects and tools. Mm-hmm. And I think, to me, AI and some of these things are just tools mm-hmm. that you can either use to build a marvelous house, or you can use to, you know, craft a cabinet, or it can sit on a shelf in your garage and never really be used to its full potential. Mm-hmm. You can take that same saw and do so many things with it. So for me, I think my recommendation as leaders should really think about how they're using this technology to form a, you know, to kind of build their foundation for how they, you know, invest in, you know, serving their people, mm-hmm. strengthening operations, and really moving their organization like Cardon to mm-hmm. have just better outcomes mm-hmm. for our residents. And I think that leads to everything else.
Yeah.
If you can ground these decisions and your technology investment in those things, I think that's extremely important. Mm. So I've been at Cardon, it'll be 6 years in July. Mm-hmm. Strong software development mm-hmm. background. So when I came to Cardon, I always thought, like, we need to be building more, exploring how this technology can really help harness some of the fight I saw mm. over the years we had with COVID. Mm. I was not in long-term care prior to COVID. Mm-hmm. I had 6 months mm. on the job, and then COVID happened.
Gosh, wow.
You know, when I joined Cardon, we were using older technology, which I had thought was already replaced 10 years earlier. Mm. You know, in fact, we talk about AI and all this stuff. I still have an issue at a building right now with receiving faxes. Mm-hmm. Like, why on earth we're still faxing in 2025 as primary sources of communication is mind-boggling to me. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, it's so I have been in the industry over 25 years. Mm. I'm a veteran, so I've spent time in Iraq working on knowledge management solutions and technology for the Army. Mm-hmm. As a warrant officer, so I just came to the table with I'm probably more of a challenger mm. in a lot of ways. Like, how do we do things differently? Why do we always do it this mm-hmm. way? Mm-hmm. But I'm just mindful of, like, every day when I see people work, I'm like, we can be doing this better. Mm. So I think that's always been kind of my drive.
Yeah.
And then personally, I had my father. The last couple of years, he had passed away. But he had been involved in this system in a different state, and did not have a great experience.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's so many folks, you know, recent addition to my team had similar, you know, where it's just a tough industry. And you want to have people that really drive or want to make a difference.
Yeah.
I see that in the folks that I work with every day at Cardon. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important.
Yeah.
So for me, it's about how do you leverage technology to really make a difference in mm-hmm. people's lives, and not just build another product to make money, mm-hmm. But you know, it's really supporting the staff and the caregivers.
Yes.
So it's a cool place to be, mm-hmm. And I think for me, just it continues to let me explore my creativity. Mm. And like I said, I'm in all the conversations and kind of see, okay, how can we look at the process here? How can we leverage tools to do this differently?
Yeah.
So it's fun.
Tom McLeland, thanks for joining us today. That does it for this episode of Rethink. A reminder that if you are subscribed to the podcast directly through SoundCloud, a change that we've recently made in our infrastructure could affect your subscription. We apologize for the inconvenience and encourage you to subscribe through a podcast player such as Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Also, please don't forget to join us for the payment webinar. Visit skillnursingnews.com/events to find out more.